Stuff. Here we go. Welcome to Wynwood Radio. I'm your host of Discussions. This is Ian Trottier. And this is the 3 o'clock hour special 3 o'clock hour broadcast, as you are accustomed to hearing me come on at the 5 o'clock hour. But today, we are hosting, and this may be the angle from which we tackle the interview with Cynthia McKinney, as she's unavailable at 5 o'clock. Tarana, our guest today, Tarana Burke, will be on in about 15 minutes. She is unable to join us at that 5 o'clock hour. So what I will be bringing to you later on today is not Paul Craig Roberts. Unfortunately, something came up for Paul, and he's having to reschedule. So I will get him rescheduled for you, and we will bring Paul Craig Roberts back on. John Kerriakou, if you caught the John Kerriakou episode a couple weeks ago, he's in Europe right now. I believe he left yesterday, where he will be presenting to the European Parliament. Okay, so John Kerriakou, former CIA member, sent to Pakistan, captured the number 3 Al-Qaeda operative, Abu Zubaydah, if I pronounced that right, and put him in Guantanamo, where our military, and you can put CIA in the military, because, I mean, as far as I'm concerned, they're kind of part of that. I mean, they're a law enforcement, aren't they? So, So this guy goes in Guantanamo, and he's getting tortured. So John, knowing that this is contrary and it's against the U.S. laws and our deal that we have with the U.N., gets called by ABC, and ABC says, we've got a reason to believe that you know that we're torturing these detainees at Guantanamo. And he says, what's your source? And Ross, I think it was, the reporter at ABC, says, well, I've got my source. Not going to disclose it to you. If you'd like to come on the show, I'll present it to you. So backs him into the corner, if you will. So John goes on ABC. Now, keep in mind, this is defying. You can find these clips on YouTube. You can find these clips online of George Bush, former president, clearly stating that we're not torturing people, which, again, is contrary to what John knows is true. So John tells ABC, national TV, yeah, we're torturing people. He serves 2 years in federal prison for that. And I believe he was originally looking at 40-plus years. He gets charged with, if I remember correctly, 5 counts of treason and espionage. Treason is like enemy of the state type status, as far as I know. You're looking at like Benedict Arnold, you know, like a traitor. Well, he's not a traitor, and in many eyes, including my guest of last week, Dane Wigington of Geoengineering Watch, he's an American hero. Because if our government is not being honest with us, folks, we need to set them straight. Because let's not forget, we are the government. This is a republic. We have democratic values. We are the government, not vice versa. The government does not control us. We control the government. All right. So that's like, so anyway, so yeah, I mean, he gets thrown in federal prison for telling the truth, but being honest. So he was on the show a couple weeks ago. He's in Europe right now. He's presenting. I don't know what he's presenting. He's presenting to the European Parliament. He'll be back Friday. I will bring John back on Because if you go to my website, iantrottier.com, that's iantrottier.com/radio gives you a list of all my past and future guests, and you will find that if you click on John, I think it only gives you 20 minutes of the episode, and then only 5 of that is actually me talking to John. So I'm going to bring John back on. I'm going to bring Mark Shaw back on. Mark Shaw talks about the JFK assassination, and he goes into Dorothy Kilgallen. So Dorothy was on hot on a trail of discovering who killed JFK. She mysteriously died in her Manhattan flat before she was going to publish what she had found. So anyway, so back to Paul Craig Roberts. Sorry to circle around on you, but keep in mind that John will be coming back on the show. Mark will be coming back on the show. I confirmed with both. Paul Craig Roberts was supposed to come on, but we're going to have to reschedule him. So in his place, that took 5 minutes for me to circle back around. In his place, we're bringing Miriam Hennen back on the show. Okay, so Tarana Burke. But first, Paul Craig Roberts, so you can understand who he is. Roberts was asked, quote, "Is the war on terror a hoax?" End quote. And argued that it has killed, maimed, dislocated, and made widows and orphans of millions of Muslims in 6 countries. Roberts called the attacks, quote, "naked aggression on civilian populations and infrastructure that constitute war crimes," end quote. Roberts contends that just like Operation Gladio, if you're not familiar with that is, probably not, the war on terror has been perpetrated by the military-industrial complex. Military-industrial complex. And the insane neoconservatives under an agenda of U.S. world hegemony. Paul Craig Roberts does not have a small voice. Former Stanford fellow, former fellow at Oxford, well-written, well-educated, former U.S. Assistant Secretary of the Treasury for Economic Policy under Ronald Reagan. He will be on the show and he will talk about his book, How America Was Lost, from 9/11 to the police warfare state next week. And this will be at the 5 o'clock hour. Again, thanks for listening to me at the 3 o'clock hour next week. That'll be November 15th. Author Wayne Jett will be joining us. His book, The Fruits of Graft, Great Depressions, Then and Now. Okay? He's an attorney based in Southern California. He's got lots of interesting information to share with us. Now to Tarana Burke. Tarana Burke, founder and director of Just Be Incorporated, spent her life committing her talents and wisdom to empowering people of color. A couple weekends ago, a friend of mine based here in Miami, again, you're tuned in to Wynwood Radio, that's WYNRADIO, and I'm your host of Discussions, Ian Trottier. Follow me on Twitter, at Ian Trottier. Follow me on Instagram, at Ian Trottier. I don't do Facebook that much, just think they have way too much information, but whatever, maybe I'll start doing it again. Twitter and Instagram, best way to follow me at the moment. Anyway, Me Too hashtag came across my desk a couple weekends ago. It was a very trending hot hashtag. I thought, what is this? METOO, that's hash. Tarana, having founded an African-centered rites of passage program for girls, Jedea Aza, if I pronounced that right. The program evolved into the creation of her current project, Just Be Incorporated. So this is where it gets. So we already mentioned women of young girls of color, young women, girls of color. Okay, but this is what's key here, and if as you let this sink in, what Me Too was about and is about. The modern chapter of Tarana's story starts here, and she's gracious enough to be on the show in a few minutes here with us. While working as a counselor to young women, now more than a decade ago, a girl sought out Tarana in confidence. As a young girl began sharing with Tarana the experience, which was crippling her, and her home life, a story of domestic abuse and assault. Toronto discovered it difficult to continue listening. I cannot find the strength, she says, to say out loud the words that were ringing in my head over and over again as she tried to tell me what she had endured. I watched her walk away from me as she tried to recapture her secrets and tuck them back into their hiding place. I mean, these are profound words. That, when I first read that, that really spoke to me. And then this is where a tear swelled up in my eye. I watched her put her mask back on and go back into the world like she was all alone and couldn't even bring myself. Here's where the tear came in, I believe. It was certainly starting before this, but this is probably when it came out of the eye. I couldn't bring myself to whisper. Me too. Bam. Wow. That's deep. So we'll have Toronto back on, and that's where the Me Too hashtag, and if you're not familiar with it, go into it, and this is crazy. So as I thought, what is this hashtag? And then I start learning, and then I contact this person that I'd seen the Me Too, that I'd seen hashtag the Me Too, and I thought, is this happened to you too? Yes. So Alyssa Milano, who I've reached out to, her publicist in LA, she was not available to come on the program. But I did get a response. Alyssa is unavailable to come on. She hashtagged Me Too, and it went viral. But it incepted with Tirana and Tirana's program just be incorporated. So Tirana will spend 20, 30 minutes with us. We're hoping as much time as she possibly can to tell us about what she's doing and then how we can get involved and support her cause and the cause of these young girls and these young women that so much need help in taking their masks off. As if I can attempt to understand what, how tight that mask or even how that mask might be put on in the first place or what a mask might be made of and certainly what's behind that mask. Domestic abuse and assault is running rampant. And I believe, folks, it is much closer to you. If not speaking to you directly, it is much closer to you than you probably realize. Okay. So here's the 3 o'clock hour. I'll be back on. Gonna cut to a break here. I'm gonna be back on with Tirana. And again, at that 5 o'clock hour, if you're not familiar with who Miriam Hennen is, she's doing incredible stuff. Go to honeycolony.com, just as it sounds. Something you need to familiarize yourself with, Honey Colony, Colony Collapse Disorder. Okay, our honeybees are dying in a rapid fashion globally. As our honeybees die, that means our food supply gets diminished, making us more dependent on things like companies like Monsanto, genetically modified foods. Do you want that in your life? Okay. So Miriam Hennen runs honeycolony.com. She co-produced Vanishing of the Bees, which won international acclaim and awards. She will be joining us. She was actually the very first guest of this show back in January when I started this effort. She will be joining us this afternoon at the 5 o'clock hour. Two bits of information to leave you with. Go to Wise Food Storage. If you call during the 5 o'clock hour at that 510 mark today, you will be the winner. The first caller, if you call, will be the first, will receive a complimentary, that's free, package of food storage from Wise Food Company based out of Utah. We're doing a monthly giveaway with Wise. And the other thing, if you are local to Miami, go to the Adrian Arch Center at 3 p.m. this Saturday and celebrate the life of Parker L. Thompson. He is the father of Meg Daly, former guest on the show. She and Christina are putting together the Underlying Project. That is local to Miami. Taking a break, I'll be back on the program here with you. Joining me, Tirana Burke. Thanks for joining Discussions. I am your host, Ian Trottier.
Oh, when the wind would blow with rain and snow, we're not all bad. We put our feet
Hey, I am back. I am your host, Ian Trottier. You've tuned into Discussions. This is Wynwood Radio. I have online with me now, Tarana Burke. Tarana, are you there?
I'm here. How are you?
I'm doing fantastic. As you may know, I'm down in Miami. We're in the Wynwood district of Miami, and the weather's actually great. We had a pretty breezy and windy hurricane season. That brings in a lot of rain, but the weather's shaping up, and actually right now it's fantastic. How are you?
Good, and I feel like you are showing off because I'm in New York where it's gloomy and rainy and cold.
You're gloomy and rainy in New York?
Yeah.
Oh, boy. Okay, what part of New York?
I'm in Brooklyn right now.
Brooklyn. I love Brooklyn.
Yes, you've been. Okay.
Of course. Originally, I'm from San Francisco, but I know okay. New York pretty well. I know been to Yankee Stadium, so I know that part of the Bronx. I've know a little bit of the West Side, East Side, and I know Brooklyn. I know Brooklyn.
Oh, okay. Great.
Brooklyn has good bagels. At least that's
what
I think.
Yeah, it does. We actually had bagels this morning.
Ah. There you go. So welcome to Wynwood Radio, and thanks for taking your time to join us this afternoon.
Thank you for having me.
So Tarana, I've for my listeners, I've gone ahead and I put up a bio of kind of what you do, and that's on my website, iantrottier.com. But I want you to talk about and so that you know, there's people that I know close to me that have been affected by the issue that you're dedicating your time to helping and aiding and assisting, and that's from me. Now, like I may have explained to you, it was a couple weeks ago, and the hashtag kind of went through my screen, and it came from somebody that I respect a lot here local to Miami and very influential person. And I thought, what is this? So I started looking into it, and it has to do, and I had no idea it had to do with abuse and sexual assault. And I thought, then I wrote to that person. I said, is this something that you've experienced yourself? And they confirmed, and they said, yes, this has happened to me. And it just blew my mind. So what I'm, you know, what I, and their response to me was, yeah, it's a lot more common than you probably realize. And of course, yeah, the hashtag went viral. It it was all over the place that weekend. And as you, I'm sure, would know, Alyssa Milano, I don't know where she is, maybe L.A., but I'd reached out to her publicist to see if they'd join us. They were unavailable. But when she had tagged it, then it caught people's eyes.
It just took off.
It took off.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
So that's about it in a nutshell. Yeah.
That's about it in a nutshell. And then, of course, you know, I read this on your website, and so this is something that's certainly resonates and is part of your life, you personally. And then you've developed this program called Just Be Incorporated, and you had an encounter with a young girl, that put her confidence in you to entrust you with sharing something that was going on in her life, and you weren't able to express to her what you wanted to, and that's kind of spawned, if I'm understanding this correctly, that's kind of spawned the creation of this Just Be Incorporated movement. And you can correct me if I'm wrong, but happening more than I think people generally think it's going on. Is that right?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, this is happening at alarming rates. And I think that one of the beauties of what's happening in this viral moment around me is that I think that just the simple numbers, the empirical data that's been collected over the last month is enough to show people that this is not just a one-off thing. This is not just happening in certain communities. This is happening across gender, race, class, ability lines. And people need to pay close attention because it's happening in your family. It's happening to your loved ones, in every facet of life. People make fun because I call it an epidemic or a pandemic, but it is. It really is. The numbers are that alarming.
Wow. I mean, yeah, you use a word like an epidemic, and that's just, I'm sure the majority of people, because it's such a private thing, right? So it's something that has happened to an individual, and then what happens? A wall goes up, and it's just,
Well, yeah, because it's so much shame attached to it. It's so much shame and guilt that's associated with it, and so a lot of, we're socialized to believe that it's our fault, that we did something wrong, that we broke a rule, that, there's some kind of way we're complicit in our own abuse. And so people shut down. But again, the beauty of this moment is that there's a groundswell of support of people coming from every walk of life to say, I experienced this thing too. Maybe not the exact same thing, maybe not in the exact same way, but it caused me a trauma that I'm unable to released.
Wow. And for you personally, how old were you? When did this happen to you?
The first time it happened to me, I was 6.
Oh my goodness.
And then again, between 9 and 12, and then again, when I was 25.
Wow. And by different people?
Different people, yeah.
All 3 times?
Yeah. 3 wow. Different people. 3 different times.
So you're a 6-year-old. And this is happening, and you knew it was a violation of you and your space and your body. And certainly, you felt like this person had no right to do that to you. But
well, I don't know if I had that understanding at that age. What I knew is that they were older than me and that they were more powerful than me. I knew it was wrong. I knew it felt wrong. I knew it felt bad. But I also felt like confused, because that's what 6-year-olds are. When they're manipulated, they become confused. And I felt like I did something. Like I knew it was wrong, what was happening to me, but I felt that I was responsible, not the person who was doing it.
Yeah. Yeah. And this is somebody close to you that you trusted?
Well, the neighborhood, he's an older person who lives in the neighborhood. So, yeah, I did trust them. I thought, you know, they're a responsible person or they're a grown-up. You know, they are allowed to watch kids and to be around kids. So I thought that this was okay to go off with them. I thought it was okay to be in their company without another adult. Mm-hmm. I didn't know any of that.
And then at nine, it happened again.
Yeah, then it was a series of events between 9 and 12 that was similar. And again, it was an older boy taking advantage of you know, youth and naive.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. And then when you're 25, then you're looking at, you know, and then you're talking about just complete violation against
the law. Yeah, I was assaulted. Yeah, no, I was sexually assaulted on an acquaintance right at 25. That was a different situation. I was an adult who was attacked by another person.
Wow.
So who I met and this again is a thing that happens all the time. You build, you know, even a modicum of trust with somebody because you have a romantic interest and you think, you know, this person doesn't want to hurt me. They have an interest in me as an individual, and then it turns out that they don't, and they do want to hurt you. So these are the things that survivors hold after the fact is there's the shame and there's the guilt, and then there is the ways in which we scour our brains to try to figure out why we make these decisions. Why was I so stupid? Why did I do that? Why did I wear that? Why did I, you know, it's just we do that, and then society reinforces that those are the questions that we should ask, as opposed to asking, why is this person doing this to me? Why did this person attack me? You know, what is wrong with that person? We're trained to ask, as survivors, we're trained to ask, what's wrong with us? And that's long. That's the long question.
So tell us a little bit about the Just Be Incorporated and how you set out to help prevent, obviously.
So Just Be is not specifically about sexual violence. Just Be was about helping young girls in the community where I live to develop a sense of self-worth. Right. I had a partner who started the program with me, and we decided, like, we were working with young people doing youth leadership work, but noticing that the girls needed a different kind of attention, or really just knowing that we wanted to give them a different kind of attention, thinking about the kind of attention that we would have wanted and needed at their age. And so we started trying to think about, like, how does the world look at Black girls? How does the world view us? What is it that you see when you turn on the television and you look in the media? And do those things inspire you? Do those things make you feel worthy? And the answer is largely no, that they don't. And so for us, it became a task to help these Black and brown girls to feel worthiness. And we distinguish that from self-esteem, right? People, there are lots of programs out there that are to help girls build self-esteem, but our position was that you can't build self-esteem until you understand why you are worthy, like why you deserve to be loved and respected and treated well just as you are, regardless of, you don't have to be a star athlete, you don't have to be a scholar, you don't have to be some outstanding, excellent person in order for you to feel worthy. And so that was the work of Just Be. And while we were doing that work, we started having lots of encounters with folks who were with young people who had experience with sexual violence. And we realized, because both of us were survivors, we realized that we needed to do some work specifically around them. And so the idea for the Me Too campaign came out of Just Be in that way.
Okay. So it's evolved from, it's always been a gender specific geared towards young women. And it's,
well, it started that way. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And now it's now, so where is it now? Where is it now? Where is it going now?
Well, but before we got to this viral moment, we expanded the conversation because one, there are boys who are survivors of sexual violence. There are queer people who are survivors of sexual violence. And we want to make sure that people really, really, I say this a lot, but there is no, sexual violence knows no race or color or gender or class. It can happen to anybody at any time, from the richest person to the poorest person, black or white, young or old. However, the response to sexual violence definitely can be gendered or racist or classist or whatever. And so we have to be really careful to be inclusive of the most marginalized people to make sure they're not left on the fringes. Mm-hmm. So we started expanding our thinking around the work to be more inclusive of folks who often get left out. So it's not just girls, but it definitely started that way.
And what are you, what do you do to interact with these people? Are you holding conferences or workshops? And are you categorizing male versus female versus gender orientation as far as sexual disposition? Go ahead.
So what we do is we do hold workshops and trainings. A lot of our workshops and trainings are for practitioners. So basically for people whose job it is to go out and to do work with the victims of sexual assault or survivors of sexual violence. And so we do workshops with them to help them think about how to do what we call hold space for survivors, meaning how do you create safe environments for people who have survived sexual violence to thrive across all lines, meaning gender, race, class, whatever. So we talk to practitioners, we do trainings with them. So we also do trainings to help people create those safe spaces. So it's one thing to, there's people who are charged with it, and the people who just don't know and they want resources, right? So you said you had your friend who wrote Me Too, and it was the first time you heard it or saw it. Yeah. Lots of people find out about things that happen to friends and loved ones, and they want to know what to do. They want to know what resources exist. So that's one of the things we're trying to provide for people, is resources to help folks start their healing journey.
And where are you seeing the best response? Any certainly in New York?
Well, I mean, sort of like pre and post, right? Before this viral moment, it's nationwide, but it's usually amongst the community of people who are working to end sexual violence, right? It's usually not like in popular culture or just like colleges and universities. It's mostly people who are committed to the work, who are on the ground and work in smaller groups. Now, since the viral moment, we've received, inquiries from everywhere, literally all corners of the earth. And so we are taking a step back to regroup and be able to respond positively to all of the attention that's happening right now. And I would say, to answer your question, the most responses from women and the most responses in the United States, although there's a ton of response from Europe. I don't know if you've seen the news what they've done. Some of the women in like Sweden and France have used Me Too as a way to confront leadership in the parliament and other areas of government.
Yeah. So, what did you think? Walk us through that. What was it? You posted something to Twitter and you hashtagged the Me Too. That's something that you incepted. And when did it go viral? And how did it go viral? And what were your thoughts and what were your initial reactions?
Yeah, no, I didn't hashtag them. Hashtag it, Me Too. Oh. Alyssa Milano posted the... Alyssa Milano got a post from another friend. I don't know if that friend had been introduced to my work or not, but the friend, you know, gave her the tweet. She tweeted it. And from there, it started to go viral. That was 3 Sundays ago. And what happened is as the viral momentum was building, people started coming to me saying, where are you? We keep saying Me Too, but we don't see you involved. Mm-hmm. And I thought, I don't know what this is. It wasn't really hitting my timeline. And then I went and I did a search for it, and I was like, oh my gosh, this thing is maturing, it's growing. And that's how I initially found out.
So it's tied to you because did you use it at one point and you were the first person to use it, or you have it on your website?
Yeah, it's tied to me because I started the Me Too campaign. I started the Me Too movement in 2006. So while we were doing Just Be, Me Too grew out of that as a means to talk to young women who were survivors. Just Be Inc. is just the name of the organization, and we did programs through Just Be. So we had a Jewels program, and then we had Me Too. And I have been using Me Too to talk about sexual violence for over a decade. And so as it started being popularized on the internet, folks who knew my work started to tag me and call me and reach out to me and say, do you see this? This is somebody doing your work. And I was, first concerned, like, what's happening? And then after I saw what was happening, I thought, oh, my goodness, this is going to overshadow, my ego kicked in. And it was just like, this is going to overshadow the body of work that I've put out over the last 10 years if I don't say something. And also, I thought, like, the people who are putting up this hashtag don't have any context for it. They don't have a container to process what it means afterwards. And so I just wanted to provide that for folks.
Yeah, yeah. Wow. Okay. So this is something that you'd been building for over 10 years. And mm-hmm. And then just kind of, it sounds like it just out of the blue, it somehow hit home, and a celebrity had retweeted it, and then boom, all of that kind of work that you'd done, not necessarily aiming for that type of result, kind of went triggered back to you and exposed what you're doing. But you are saying that you didn't really expect it to, like you used the word overshadow, you didn't really expect it to, your work to resonate with people from that angle. Is that accurate?
Yeah, I mean, my work is focused on marginalized groups, right? My work is focused on people who are often not heard. So not famous actors and actresses, not Hollywood people at all. And so, I've seen what happens when folks, things go viral and they become really, really popular for a moment and then they're forgotten about. And so if that happened, then any subsequent work that I did using the same catchphrase I've been using for 10 years would have been swept up in that moment.
Yeah. Wow. Okay. So, but it's been a good thing for you, this exposure.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. It's been an amazing thing to watch this grow and to see people connect. And I think part of what I wanted to do by inserting myself in the conversation was provide context for people, right? To give them a way to ground this moment into body of work. And it's not just a word, two words. It's not just a hashtag. There's like meaning behind that, right? This is about an exchange of empathy, and we need to talk about where the power lies in that. You know, people were like sort of trying to figure it out and, why is it taking off so much? And I'm like, because it's simple and it's powerful, and that's what people look for.
Yeah,
and that's what people need it. Mm-hmm.
So, where do you see? Where would you like to see your movement in being what you're doing? Where would you like to see it in the next 5 years?
Oh, we plan on building out a both an online and on the ground movement over the next 5 years, continuing the work that I started, but really expanding it where we would have survivors who are at the forefront of pushing, of doing the work to end sexual violence, where we would have survivors who are in need of support and don't have access, having tools that they can access and and use in their journey towards healing. So we plan to continue to talk about it. We continue to push for stronger laws around sexual harassment and sexual violence. Like, we really want to do a full court press, both on the ground, in the communities, and in policy.
Yeah. And are you getting the attention of any policymakers?
Yes, actually. I'm actually making comments, remarks at a briefing on violence against women and girls in Congress next week. So it's definitely getting the ear of lawmakers. I've talked to some people and been talking to groups that are doing this work about how to push an agenda forward. So, you know, we have some traction happening.
That's awesome. So you'll be on Capitol Hill next week. And This is just phenomenal. This is great.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, Tarana. Tell listeners a little bit about where they can find you on the internet, any websites, Twitter handles.
Absolutely. Yeah. Thank you. So in an immediate way, people can text the words Me Too to 90975. And they'll be added to our text list so they can get information and updates as new things happen. pardon me. People can also find our website and go sign up there. It's Me Too Movement, but it's spelled MVMT. Me Too MVMT .org. So people can do that. And also follow us online. We're Me Too MVMT.
Okay, awesome.
Online. Mm-hmm. Except on Instagram, it's the Me Too MVMT.
Okay. Okay. Any other websites or connections?
No, those are the ways to find us, and I encourage people to follow what's happening and the things that the work that we have coming up. And if you are interested in getting involved, sign up, and we will definitely be in touch with you.
Amazing, amazing. Well, I'll do my part to make sure that I can promote you through my channels and make sure we create more safe environments nationally and internationally for people of all walks of life from abuse and sexual abuse. So, Tarana, thank you so much for coming
That's
on
awesome.
The show.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me.
Okay, have a great day. Bye.
You too. Bye-bye.
Ladies and gentlemen, Tarana Burke, what an incredible work she's doing with her life. So, obviously she's been affected personally by an abusive encounter or relationship, and she was able to share those moments with us, and with the courage that she was able to build in herself, she's now with full steam ahead, taking her message to Congress. You just heard her say it. She's marching up to Capitol Hill. She wants laws changed and or created. I didn't ask her about that too much. She's a busy woman, and she's doing wonderful things and amazing things. And get behind her if you can. I'm going to cut to a short break. You've joined Discussions. I'm your host, Ian Trottier. This is Wynwood Radio.
And I would love to see that day. That day is mine when she with the willow trees and play songs in me, who made me so, and I.
Welcome back. So, Tarana Burke, her message is profound. It's deep. I'll kind of go back to my reaction and why I wanted to reach out to her and bring her on this program and in the show. Look, my eyes popped wide open. Look, when I first saw the hashtag roll across the screen, I thought, well, what is this? That's odd. You know, what is this? Me too? Okay, me too what? It's coming from a woman. It's somebody that I know, I think extremely high of. What is this Me Too thing? Okay, and you know, on the feed, I don't know the algorithms, but let's assume, right, that your top kind of post is what gathering the information regarding, you know, who you've been in contact with or what your conversations have been around. I don't really know. Again, I don't know the algorithms. Some of these mathematicians and how they design the software, but your top post, it's kind of like walking into a supermarket, and you know what's on the bottom shelf is going to be least sold, right? I mean, it's just people aren't going to be looking down on the bottom shelf. What's kind of mid-level and top shelf is what's going to be first to go. So some of these businesses, of course, they pay to get positioned on shelves. At least that's my understanding. So your top post, whenever you open your social media app, is kind of like, all right, that's the most important thing, right? That's kind of what the company is. It's kind of like what they think you will be most inclined to click on, right? Because a lot of the revenue is click related. So anyway, so me too. And as I'm looking into this, I'm like, what? Really? And the confirmation came back, and then that's when, whoa. And that kind of my heart sank, and I thought, okay, wow. You know, now I've had people close to me, and I can think of one person in particular that it was probably 15 years ago in the family, and I mean extended family, and the conversation came up, and it was, wow, this person has experienced that. It wasn't any the assailant, and I'll call the person an assailant, wasn't anybody close to us, but nonetheless, it was somebody that I love dearly and has been a very important person in my life. Was a victim of this, and this is 15 years ago. Then when this person here, and I'm not original to Miami, so I don't know this person very long, but then when I realized that, whoa, this has happened to this person too, again, like I said, my heart sank. So that's when I knew I had to reach out to Tarana, and I think that took a lot of courage. I can't imagine how much courage that must take to share those words with us, and furthermore, to dedicate your life and her life as she is to create a movement, to help create a safe zone. And it's not just safe zones and communities and families and states. Nationally, we have to create a safe zone, which means if this type of thing happens, the penalty must be grave. It's an injury, and it's a emotional and mental injury. And an injury can regress, retard, slow, inhibit growth and achievement. So, not to be taken lightly, folks. Get behind Tarana and what she's doing. Visit the hashtag. Visit her websites. Follow her on Twitter. T-A-R-A-N-A B-U-R-K-E. Remember, at the 5 o'clock hour, I'll be back on with you 5:10. Call me in the Wise Food Storage Company. We'll send you a complimentary package of their product. And it just so happens that this will coincide with a very important topic regarding food, and that our bees are dying at a very rapid rate. I'll be back on at that hour with Miriam Hennen, and I will leave you with one final visit. If you are in Miami this weekend, that is the 11th of November, please visit the Adrian Arsht Center to celebrate the life of Parker L. Thompson, former attorney, but really spearheaded the movement to appreciate an appreciation of the arts. He delivered the Performing Arts Center, known as the Adrian Arsht Center, to this city. Just so happens that he is the father of former guest Meg Daly. The Underline. And their project. So that'll be happening this weekend. And until 5 p.m., this is Wynwood Radio. I am your host for discussions in Hamilton Trottier. See you in an hour.